Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our next two lessons, we propose to examine the sacred record of how a man named Cornelius was converted. When we first read of him, he's not a Christian. He becomes a Christian. How did this happen? Just what was involved? Now we'll refer to the accounts of the events that took place at his house as they are recorded for us in three chapters in the book of Acts, Acts 10, 11, and 15. Now while we want to learn what did occur, we shall also give some time to refuting some false doctrines that have arisen from the misuse of this record. So it is with the hope that another might be saved, when we turn our attention to the conversion of Cornelius, for we are persuaded the way that he was converted is the way that people are converted now. Now, from Acts the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2, we learn that Cornelius was a Roman soldier. He was a centurion. That meant that he had charge of 100 men. And we read of his good qualities, qualities so good that some might conclude that the man would certainly not be lost. Here was a man that certainly did not need salvation with all the good qualities that we read about him. And surely if any man could be saved by his own works, by his own worth, why, Cornelius would be the man. It is said that he was devout. He was one that feared God. He had led his family to fear God. He gave alms to those who were in need. He was a praying man. Surely those are good qualities of an individual. Does a man like that need to be converted? And further, verse 22 teaches us that he was highly thought of among the Jews, even though he was a Gentile, and he was a member of that army that kept the Jews in occupation. So there are so many things about Cornelius that would make one at first maybe wonder, if he died, surely he would go to heaven. Surely everything would be all right. He doesn't need to be converted. He could just stay like he was. But as we read, we discover that there were three miracles recorded in revealing the story of his conversion. But now let's be careful. Let's not jump too hastily to the conclusion that we must have miracles today in order for a person to be converted. We shall see as we study that these miracles were simply incidental to the actual conversion process. They were merely incidents that took place in the actions of these people that were not the principles involved in his conversion to Christ. And the first miracle of which we read was a miracle where Cornelius saw a vision in verse 3. Now in this vision, he was told that God took notice of his prayers, for they came up to God as a memorial before God. Now we must admit, what was the contents of this man's prayer, we're not told. And there's a difference between God taking notice of one's prayer and God promising to answer the prayers of those who are not his children. There's nothing in Scripture that teaches us that God will answer the prayer of those who are not his children. Now, God takes notice of everything. He knows everything. But there is the assurance from God that the privilege of prayer does belong to those who are in Christ. Now, in this vision that Cornelius saw, he saw an angel, and he heard him speak. But please notice, friend, that the angel did not tell Cornelius the way of salvation. This is important when we listen today to some think that some angel or some direct operation of the Holy Spirit has told them how to be saved. The angel did not tell Cornelius how to be saved. The angel did not miraculously move the heart of Cornelius. Rather, Cornelius was told simply to send to Joppa for a man named Simon Peter. And when Peter would come, quote now, "He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do," Acts 10 and verse 6. So Peter was going to convey to Cornelius what to do to be saved. The angel did not. So we see that the bringing of the preacher and the one needing conversion together was the purpose of this miracle, of this vision. There was not any bypassing of the word of God. There was no direct operation of the Holy Spirit to save the man. There's nothing but the instructions to go get the man who knew the plan, and the man would tell the man the plan. Now, this miracle served the same purpose as the angel telling Philip to join himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian. They were read back in Acts chapter 8. It served the same purpose of the Lord telling Ananias to go to a street called Straight and there find Saul of Tarsus. The teaching of the Bible, friend, instructs Christians to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because the hearing of the gospel is absolutely essential for one to be saved. The messenger with the word must be heard. We have no example of people being saved without coming to a knowledge of, a faith in, and obedience to the word of God. So there has to be the message brought to the heart of the one to be converted. Well, it's noticeable in Acts chapter 10 that Cornelius wasted no time in sending for Peter. But now the scene shifts. It shifts to the city of Joppa and the Apostle Peter and the events that transpired with Peter while the men of Cornelius made their way toward the city of Joppa. Now in Joppa, Peter saw a vision recorded for us in Acts 10, 9 through 16. This vision consisted of this. A sheet was let down that contained all manner of four-footed beasts, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls. Now, Peter was a Jew. Peter had been taught under the Jewish law not to eat certain foods. And these things that he saw in this sheet were foods that he could not eat, yet he was commanded to kill and eat. Now, this was the vision that he saw. This did not literally take place. This was the vision that he saw. But Peter refused to do that on the grounds that, "I've never done such a thing as that," not regarding these unclean beasts and these fowls and so forth. But then the voice said to Peter, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And this vision was presented to Peter three different times. Now, the message of the vision, friend, becomes rather obvious to us. You see, the Jews has historically looked upon the Gentiles as common. They were unclean. And even now, the gospel being for all men was not being preached to the Gentiles, because Jewish tradition stood in the way. The Lord was impressing upon Peter the message that Peter himself had preached on Pentecost, but obviously failed to fully comprehend. And that is how the gospel is for all, regardless of one's race, one's nationality, one's color of skin, one's gender, one's ancestry. As Jesus had said, the commission, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." And that's needful, because as Paul has said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because all have sinned, all need to be converted, all need to be saved. And the purpose of Peter's vision, it was to convert Peter to an idea that the gospel is for all. Now, he had preached this even on the day of Pentecost. He had heard Christ teach this before he ascended into heaven. But it is evident up until this point he had not learned that lesson very well. But now it is evident that he did learn the lesson very well. And when the men from Cornelius arrived, they told Peter their mission while they were there and were lodged for the night. And the next morning, a company of 10 men left to return to the city of Caesarea, the home of Cornelius. And those in that company, they were the two servants and the one soldier that had been sent by Cornelius and Peter. That's four of them. And then there were six of Peter's Jewish Christian brethren that went along also. This we learn in the 11th chapter. And friend, this becomes most significant in understanding some of the events that were to transpire. Now, thus far, both miracles were directed for the same goal. That's namely to get the message of the gospel to the one that needed to hear it. To take the messenger with the message to the one that needs to be converted. Now, while this company was making their way back to Cornelius, Cornelius was busy gathering his kinsmen and his friends together. Acts 10, verse 24. And when Peter arrived, he found many come together. Verse 25 tells us how Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet and worshipped him. But since man is to be a worshiper of God, he knew that Peter was not God. But Peter showed the impropriety of men bowing before other men in a religious sense, whatever be the purpose or whatever be the motive. Peter said, "Stand up. I myself am a man." Is it not somewhat significant that this man, whom Catholics claim to be a pope, disallowed men paying homage like that which the pope demands today and receives today? Of course, the Bible says nothing about the pope. It says nothing about Peter being a pope. But this is altogether Catholic tradition. That's not God's revelation. Well, Peter asked for what purpose Cornelius had sent for him, and Cornelius told Peter about his vision and the instruction that he had received to send for Peter, and how that when Peter came, he would tell him the things that he needed to hear. And Cornelius said, "Now, therefore, we're all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Acts 10, verse 33. Now, the two miracles have obviously accomplished their desired purpose. The miracles are not needed now to get the preacher and the lost together. The scriptures teach for the saved to teach others and send forth the message of salvation that must be delivered. Now, at the time of Cornelius, the word was in inspired men, as Christ had promised the apostles in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. But today, the word that men need to hear as to how to be saved is in the inspired scripture. This is the way the Holy Spirit operates on the hearts of men through the word. Paul said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Friend, when we read 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, we learn that the word is adequate and sufficient and nothing else is allowed or needed. And now we have Peter and the house of Cornelius together. In our next lesson, we're going to hear what Peter told them. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.